And a very good afternoon to you. You're joining myself and Paul Golder, who's just been to the... Are you all right there?
That's the worst thing I've ever heard on this station.
Well, you've listened to Scott Ross enough times. Oh, sorry, Scott. You've just been to the council. Every week, Paul comes in on a Friday. They've got this new thing of being transparent. They want everybody to know everything. And Paul goes down for a briefing, and they tell you everything that's going on in Brentwood.
Yeah, absolutely. Met up with Councillor Barry Aspinall, who's the leader of the Brentwood Borough Council, and the Brentwood Accord Group, and also Councillor Graham Clark was there as well from Shenfield. And a few things we talked about today.
Yep.
Crossrail. This is becoming a hot potato now, Crossrail. Barry Aspinall is getting increasingly frustrated that Crossrail are changing the goalposts. I'll explain why this is. Now, originally, the engineering works were meant to start. Obviously, Crossrail is coming to Brentwood and Shenfield, and there's going to be some major work at Brentwood Station, Shenfield Station, and the track as well, so that they have these trains that go all the way to Heathrow Airport without stopping. You know, where they do stop, but they, you know.
Not here.
You don't have to change trains, that's the point.
Right.
Okay, so the engineering work was meant to be starting next Christmas, with exploratory works taking place in the summer.
Mm.
And Crossrail have now advised Brentwood Borough Council that they're going to be starting the work in January.
Right.
So a few weeks' time, which you would think normally, that's good. They're doing it quicker. We're going to have the facilities and the upgrades quicker than normal. Is that good or not? We're not sure. The work we're talking about, they're going to be extending the platforms at Brentwood and Shenfield. They're going to be cleaning up the foliage around the track. A lot of the stuff that takes root has to be taken up completely, because obviously there's bigger, faster, longer trains going to be coming to the station, so they've got to do a lot of work.
But they're starting that in January, when you've got notoriously bad weather. You would have thought they would have left it a little bit. It's true, isn't it? With snow and stuff.
We get notoriously bad weather every month of the year.
They can't
now,
get the trains to go with a couple of leaves on the line. Christ, what they're going to do in January?
Well, all they've got to do is they've got to take the trees away. They don't actually have to put the leaves on the line.
Right, okay. Yeah, don't do that.
They've just got to pick it up. Now, the problem... there's a couple of problems that are arising at the moment. Brentwood Borough Council is very concerned that Crossrail didn't negotiate a construction route. So, in other words, the route in which the lorries come in and out of the borough, and obviously there's lots of lorries, there's lots of residential people, properties surrounding each railway station, and the council wanted the opportunity to discuss it with Crossrail to recommend a route.
Yeah.
Now, to give you an example, in Shenfield, what Barry said he would have suggested was that the lorries could come in from the Mount Nissing roundabout on the A12, and they could come through via Mount Nissing Road, Lower Road, Wash Road, because these are country roads, but they have been built to take lorries because there are industrial estates on those roads. So that would have been a better route in, and then they could do a right at the roundabout and come into Rayleigh Road, and they're about half a mile from the station on the main road. Now, Crossrail are proposing, or they've informed the council, that the exit route their lorries are going to be taking, they're going to be going past Crossways, Hunter Avenue, Oliver Road and Alexander Lane, and these are residential roads. One of them is a very countryfied road that, in Barry's opinion, they are not suitable to be taking lots of traffic. He said he could understand if the cars if the lorries left Hutton Road and they went down Crossways all the way down to Chelmsford Road, but actually zigzagging through the resident streets. And he's very unhappy about that. He is a he is despairing. In Brentwood, the I'm not sure what the options are in Brentwood, but the Crossrail are going to be impacting on the taxi ranks downstairs, because the taxis park on both sides of the road, and there's going to be a lot of construction traffic going that way as well. And the exit route is going to be up Rose Valley and King Edward Road, and Barry says these aren't appropriate for big lorries either.
Yep.
Not very happy about it. Now, the council, as I said, they wanted to discuss alternative routes, but Crossrail haven't even suggested this. Now, what can we do about this? The council obviously not very happy about it. Local councillors in Shenfield are currently consulting with residents to ask if they agree that the council should be applying to Essex County Council and SEP, who are the South Essex Partnership, who are involved in, amongst other things, parking on the roads and getting money for parking on roads. And they're asking if they want to put weight restrictions on residential roads. And the feedback, you will not be surprised to hear, is that they are very keen to have those weight restrictions to stop the lorries coming in. I would have thought it would be a bit of a no-brainer. Can't imagine if you live in any of those roads, you're going to say, oh, no, it's fine, let them down. But the council are talking about this, and they're going to go to Essex County Council, to County Hall in Chelmsford, to ask for these measures to be put in place to stop the lorries going down the residential roads. Problem is, this process takes about 6 months because there's meetings, decisions, consultations, appeals, and so on. And would have been okay if Crossrail were going to start in Christmas 2015, which we originally thought they were going to. But now we know they've brought it forward, this is going to cause chaos for the residents. So,
do you know one way to sort that out? You've got people power. If you live in any of those roads and you don't want lorries going down the roads, put up some barriers, stand there yourself, and don't let them go down. Well, I know the council are trying to do their best, but if you do live in one of those roads and you have a problem with it, then people power will prevail.
Well, within the letter of the law,
yes,
of course.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's only my idea, not the Phoenix FM idea. That's just a suggestion from myself.
Yeah, let's
don't
get
lay
right.
in the road.
Yes. And Barry said that there have been bad experiences with Crossrail. He has heard in Basildon and Thurrock with lorries damaging cars because they've been going down residential streets and they've been taking out the whole of the side of cars, you know, damaging them, denting them, and that kind of thing. And he said it's no good saying, oh, well, the insurance will sort it out. We don't want that, you know, we don't want this aggravation in the first place. So it is a problem. There is another problem as well with the Friars Avenue car park, which has about 55 spaces in it. Crossrail need to go in there, do a lot of work, take down a lot of trees, and because they've got roots that are impacting on the railway line, and they've got to remove the vegetation. They say they're going to need about 35 of those 55 spaces, leaving 20 for the residents. Now, if you know Friars Lane car park, it's very difficult. It's the one behind the shops in Hutton Road, Shenfield, very close to the station. And it's where, and if you go in, there's only room for one car to go in at a time. So you can imagine a Crossrail lorry trying to get in, maybe not getting stuck, but certainly maybe stopping to unload stuff and stopping some of the people in these cars getting out. So it is a problem for residents, and no consultation's taken place yet on where these people are going to go who've lost their parking spaces, and it's going to be, you know, for a couple of years or so, I would imagine. We don't know why the it's been brought forward, the work from Crossrail. We understand that Crossrail misunderestimated the amount of vegetation that they've got to clear, and we don't know whether that means they're going to need an extra year to clear it all. So it's not actually going to get finished any quicker, but they got to start earlier so that they don't hit any penalties for late delivery of the project, which they'll be hit with massive financial penalties if that's to happen.
But also you start it earlier, and then the council have problems getting anything sorted out because they can't get in to do things. As you said, if you want to do something, the paperwork is so long and laborious that it's if they're there straight away, you haven't got much chance. Any council hasn't got much chance.
I know. It's a real mess for everybody, really. So, you know, and again, by accelerating the programme, it stops the council finding a new parking area. Yep. So to help solve the problem, this is what Brentwood Council say they're going to do. They're going to write to Crossrail to have a site visit as soon as possible at Friars Avenue at the car park with the decision makers. They want decision makers from Network Rail and Crossrail and Costain, who are the building company that have been contracted to do the work. Brentwood Borough Council is also writing to Eric Pickles, the Communities Minister, to ask for his assistance in facilitating a better rollout for his residents in Brentwood and Shenfield, his own personal constituents. So it's going to try and put some political pressure on there as well. And Barry, along with the leaders of the councils of the other affected boroughs in East London, is meeting Boris Johnson on Monday. He's going to be raising all the problems with him as well to see what can be done about sorting out all of these problems. Now, I think we did talk in the past about Schedule 7 of the Crossrail Act. Basically, this is something where the local authority can decide on some fairly minor matters before things are signed off, like hoardings and the mud on the road and that kind of thing. We talked about that in the past. And I mean, this is a possible get out. The Crossrail have to go to planning application. There was a planning meeting at Brentwood Borough Council on Wednesday, and one of their proposal was actually withdrawn in the end because the council actually highlighted all the problems, spent an hour talking to them about it. So trying to make some progress with this, but there's a lot of work still left to be done.
Yeah.
You know? There's another problem as well that originally Brentwood Council wrote to Crossrail, lots and lots of problems with Crossrail, originally wrote to them to ask if there were any other locations in the borough they were going to be working on, and Crossrail, I'm told, emphatically said no. They have now said that they are going to set up a storage depot in Nags Head Lane by the railway line, and Barry's very unhappy about that. He's worried that we're going to lose part of the Greenbelt because that's Greenbelt land at the moment. And like the transport depot on the A127, that was a Greenbelt site that had a storage depot for the widening of the M25, and that's now turned into brownfields.
Right.
Not Brownbelt. That's karate.
yeah.
Okay. So we got problems about whether we're going to lose a little bit of the Greenbelt as well, which. There's meant to be public meetings from Crossrail as well, but by their own admission, they sent out a press release saying we're not sure when this is going to be.
Mm.
And by the time that they have the public meetings, could be too late.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit iffy anyway. So not good news from Crossrail. Hopefully, we've got some more good news though for the residents of Iris Close in Pilgrim's Hatch.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a green lung, there's an area of green land, and this is in Pilgrim's Hatch on the Flowers Estate, so it's only half a mile, but there's a crow flies from where we are at the moment. And it's the only green patch of land on the estate. Now, it's not been built on deliberately for 44 years since the estate was built, because there's streams and sewers underneath and so on, but planning application went in recently from Taylor Wimpey Builders on behalf of a limited company that said they own the land, saying they're going to build two houses on it, and residents are very upset about that because it's their green patch of land in the middle of their estate. Now, came as a bit of a surprise to Brentwood Borough Council, who've been maintaining this land every year, weren't aware that someone else has claimed ownership on it.
Yeah.
Nothing's been registered at the land registry, and I should point out that my knowledge of land in this country, I own a house, so I know which land I own, but there are millions of parcels of lands everywhere where nobody knows who owns it, because it was some big farm that got cut up in the Middle Ages and that kind of thing, and there's just little parcels of lands, and they're all over the country. Nobody knows who's actually got ownership of them.
Mm.
Little meadows and fields and so on, and the councils often take responsibility for it, but sometimes somebody comes along with some old papers from 150 years ago and says, look, it's my land.
Well, I'm going to try that with William Hunter Way. I could be onto a winner there.
Could be, yeah. So this is quite a common problem where people aren't quite sure about the ownership of land. There's this company that's claiming ownership, wants to build on it. Now, there was a presentation on Wednesday night at the planning meeting. The chamber was packed and overflowing at the town hall. Barry actually said it was the most well-mannered and well-behaved public gathering he has ever witnessed, and he wanted to thank the residents. And the only time there was any applause, because he usually gets lots of murmurs and shouting and applause, and the only time that there was any applause was right at the end when it was unanimously agreed to refuse the application.
Yep.
Now, there will probably be an appeal, but the council have advised the residents at Iris Close to form a residents association, which they've already done, and they've got 100 members already, which is quick work.
Yep.
They've applied to the council to register the land as a community asset, which they've registered last night, and Barry will add this to the local development plan. So Brentwood Borough Council trying to get the land so it can be protected, so it can't be built on. They're also claiming ownership of it themselves, as they've maintained it for 44 years, established right away on it, and so on.
Yep.
So that's good news if you're a resident. Okay, so more things came out of the planning meeting. Got two more things to talk about. One of them was West Hornsham Parish Council, who submitted their village plan, and that includes the land that Brentwood Borough Council is consulting about with Basildon and local residents that they might build on, which we talked about. So that's all moving forward slowly, as these things do.
Mm-hmm.
Sport, recreation and play. Now, when the Accord took control of the council in May, there was a corporate plan in place which did not mention sport, recreation and play. A new corporate plan is being drawn up. And they're drawing up a section on those areas. And this is going to affect all the sports clubs, all the schools with sports facilities, all the open spaces, and, of course, the place we're sitting in at the moment, the Brentwood Centre as well. So it's going to have plans for what they're going to do with all of these buildings. So this is kind of news and not news as well, because the intention is to create a plan to say what they're going to do with all these buildings. It didn't exist before the election in May. It's going to exist before the next election. That's the target. There's consultations being taken at the moment, and it's going to be included in the draft district plan, which will hopefully come out soon. So fingers crossed, in the next few months there will be a document published which will say what they're going to do. Yeah. Now, I kind of mischievously suggested they might like to knock down the Brentwood Centre and rebuild it along the lines of a 21st century facility like Basildon Sporting Village, which, if you've been there, is absolutely astonishing place. Looks like it's out of, you know, it's totally modern and up to date. It's not my job to find the money for these things, I should point out, but I suggested it. But, you know, Barry has actually been visiting a lot of other facilities and seeing what they're doing. And he has got, you know, aspirations certainly to create better leisure facilities in Brentwood. If the money can be found and it's done timely, I think that's definitely good for all residents.
And also to get the, what is it, the road to sort of come off here for the Brentwood Centre as
that
well.
That was a talk, yeah. We have a big, you know, if we have a big facility here, they'll probably do like they did in Colchester when they built the stadium on the side of the road at the A12. We talked about that a few months ago, the possibility of, getting a highway built here. Doesn't help me very much coming to work in the mornings because I have to come from Billericay End. And
see, people power again, you know. If you go out in the middle of the night, you could start digging up the side of the road and just do a little slip road of your own. Yeah, don't worry about health and safety.
Yeah, don't worry about who owns the land. Nobody knows anyway.
Yeah, exactly. There's suddenly a slip road overnight just built in to come out. That would be a good idea. Well, maybe not. It's my idea again, so you mustn't say it. It's not on behalf of the station. On behalf of the station. No, I'll just say that.
I think it's a well established that anything you say is not on behalf of the station.
Nothing at all.
I'm pretty confident that'll stand up in court, don't worry.
Now, we've got Brentwood Lighting Up just to mention next week. We've already had churches together come in. It's going to be a fantastic event. We've got two stages.
Yes, we have. We're comparing the main stage, which is an enormous great big stage at the corner of Wilson's Corner facing the High Street, facing the west end of the High Street. And Tony Smith and Mike Porter will be on there comparing it again. Tony's been there the last 3 years. Mike, of course, is new to Phoenix, joined us in February, so it'll be his first time wearing a silly Phoenix hat that our presenters wear when they're on the stage. So we've got... And this is something that... This is very much a community... stage, because we have a lot of choirs, we have schools coming down, we have dance schools and that kind of thing. Really, it's just to show people what's happening in the community. And the big switch on is at 5 o'clock. Then we've got a live performance from Sweet Chicks, who are on Britain's Got Talent, I'm told. Only listen to Phoenix, so I don't know what happens outside my little bubble. And they're local to Essex as well, so so, yeah, there's a lot of entertainment there. Then we've got the second stage, which is situated outside Suite 104, which is sandwiched in between Papa John's and one of the sponsors, of course, of Lighten Up Brentwood, and a Subway on the other side, that's right. So there's going to be a stage out there. And that's going to be more... there's going to be the Hermit Club are going to be down there with Rock School. We've got a few bands there, and there'll be people doing the sound, and Joe Box will be there sprinkling his
youthful DJ essence.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is for the kids, this one. So, for the teenagers and whatnot. So that's something that we're doing as well, and it's all very worthwhile, because Hermit Club does great work, and it's good to see them getting a forum to do what they do to the townspeople of Brentwood. So that's all good news as well. There's going to be extra entertainment in Crown Street as well, which... Chris was talking about, I would imagine, about half an hour ago.
Yep.
And we're not involved in that this year, although I have sorted out their stage for them. So, you know, wink, wink.
Yep.
So we do what we can to help them out there. So, it's a lot going on. We're really happy to be doing it again. This is a big event. This is the biggest event in Brentwood. And we think it's great that we're a big part of it. And, and it makes all those meetings worthwhile, because I have meeting after meeting after meeting. all the way through the year. Well, it's not quite true, but it seems like it. So we have lots and lots of meetings. There's an enormous amount of preparation that goes into it from the churches, from the officers and the employees at Brentwood Council. And, you know, the Rotary Club are very involved in it as well. Some of the local councillors get involved in the meetings as well. And it's a lot of people put in a lot of hard work to make this happen. So it's good to see it all appreciated.
And the most famous person's going to be there of all, Father Christmas.
Postman Pat.
Yeah, what? No, Postman Pat and Father Christmas are not the same person.
Oh, okay. I got confused because they both drive a van, don't they?
They both dress in red. There we go. Thanks very much to Paul. You'll be back in next Friday. More from the council.
I will. See you then.
And don't do any barricading anywhere if you're out there listening in, and don't start digging in an access road to the Brentwood Centre. Right, here we go. Here's Misha Paris. I'll be back with some ads after this.